God's grace and peace be with you. So, I have mentioned to you before that this journey through the year is meant to take us on a journey of learning and growing in faith. We're somewhere around halfway through the season of Pentecost. And in the season of Pentecost, you know, we've learned about the resurrection. We've learned about the miracle of God's mercy toward us in Easter. The Holy Spirit's been poured out on us at Pentecost, and now we're sent out into the world. And Jesus is teaching us how to be a follower. He is teaching us how to be a disciple. And the beginning of the season of Pentecost starts out with a lot of reassurance from Jesus. But as we get a little bit more mature, his teaching presents us more and more with how challenging it can be to be a disciple. It starts out with lots of encouragement, and it keeps getting more real from there. And this morning is part of that journey. The first thing is that Jesus has gone to Tyre. Anybody know where Tyre was? It is way the heck out of the way. I mean, it is nowhere in Jesus' territory, nowhere in his turf, nowhere in his comfort zone. The city of Tyre is not a Jewish town. It is about 100 miles away. He has walked 100 miles, and nobody knows why. The scripture writers never tell us why he went to that trouble. He went way out of his way. Now, maybe he was tired. He's been doing a lot of miracles. A lot of people been coming to see him, wanting his attention. Maybe he wanted to get away. And so he has gone way out of his comfort zone to the region of Tyre and hopes to escape notice, but it doesn't happen. And so the people who come to him in that place, again, are not part of his people. And there is this really disconcerting conversation. Now, I got to confess to you, I actually looked this up because the first question that occurred to me is, this woman is of Syrophoenician origin. That means she is not Jewish. She is not from Jesus' turf. Her culture is Greek, right? She's part of the Greek culture. She does not worship the God of the Jewish people. She worships different gods, and they don't speak the same language. She would not be speaking Aramaic. She would be speaking Phoenician. I can't even figure out how they can communicate because their worlds are so different. But the gospel writers don't tell us any of that. All they tell us is that Jesus went way out of his comfort zone. Way out of his way. And this woman comes to him, and Jesus says what sound like the most disrespectful words we can imagine coming out of his mouth. She asks him for help, and he says, I was sent to the people of Israel first. It's not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs. Now, I feel like this is inappropriate. I struggle with this language. And again, the scripture writers do not give us a lot of help. Was Jesus just tired? And so things come out of your mouth? Because yes, he's the Son of God, but he's also fully human, you know? And sometimes we say stuff. Or was Jesus aware of the sinfulness of biases and prejudices and divisions among people, and he's highlighting the ugliness of that with this ugly language? We don't know. Again, the scripture writers don't reveal to us why Jesus would say something like that. But here's the interesting point, and you already know this. This woman comes back at him. She comes back at him after he has basically used this very disrespectful language about her and her kind. She comes back to him and says, well, that may be what you think. You know, that's not her culture, by the way. That's not her worldview, what Jesus has just said. But she does not meet him with disrespect. She comes back to him and she says, yes, but even the dogs get the crumbs. And here's what she's doing in her talk back. She is talking back. Now, she doesn't know she's talking back to God, but she's talking back, right? And by the way, remember that she is not the one who's the outsider here. Jesus is the outsider. We're used to Jesus welcoming those who are considered outsiders, but she's the insider in this context. She's the one who belongs, and it is Jesus who is the outsider. And she talks back to him and says, even the dogs get the crumbs. And here's the interesting thing. You know what she's doing? She is holding Jesus accountable to the power and the mercy of his God. She is holding Jesus accountable to the power and mercy of his God. See, talking back to God is not unheard of in Scripture. Now, many of us have been raised to believe that questioning God or getting angry with God or talking back to God or challenging God is unfaithful and disrespectful and a sign of weak faith. We've been taught to believe that. You never question God. You never get angry with God. You never doubt God because that's disrespectful. And yet Scripture is full of people who talk back. They talk back to God. Moses talks back to God. Job talks back to God. Lots of people in Scripture talk back to God. Even Jesus, my God, how could you abandon me? There's a lot of talk back to God in Scripture. But here's the thing that's true about all of it. Every time someone talks back, it is because they are holding God accountable to God's own nature of power and mercy. God's own nature of power and mercy. People of God call God to account for God's own nature. Does God maybe forget God's own nature of power and mercy? I don't know. I know that we do. And these stories remind us of God's nature of power and mercy. So when this woman challenges Jesus, she challenges Jesus with the reminder and the knowledge of God's boundless, limitless mercy that is not tied up by human barriers and prejudices and biases and sin. God's mercy is not bound by human borders and prejudices and religious beliefs. There is no barrier. And she calls Jesus out on that. And Jesus basically says, yep, you got it. And your daughter's already healed. You got it. And your daughter's healed. And we know from this story, there's a lot of questions we don't have answered, but here's what we know. God goes out of his way. Way out of his way. Way out of his way to get to you where you need healing. Now, from there, Jesus moves on to the Sea of Galilee by way of Sidon and the area of the Decapolis. All mumbo-jumbo to me, until you know, you look it up because you're a pastor and you're researching the Scriptures, right? So the Decapolis is this string of 10 cities spread out along the eastern border of Rome. Again, this is not home turf. This is not friendly, familiar territory for Jesus. I don't know why he's there. Because it's not where he's comfortable. It's not where people are like him. It's not where people speak his language. He has gone again way out of his way. And there is brought to him a man who is deaf and mute. And again, those who are not like Jesus ask him for healing. And unlike the previous miracle where he's not even in the same room with the little girl, he just pronounces that she's well and magic she's well, this miracle gets touchy. This miracle gets touchy. When I was on vacation, I was finishing up a writing assignment. Some of you know that I write for our publishing house for materials for pastors who are preparing worship. And one of the days I was writing on was Maundy Thursday. So I've just been reflecting on how uncomfortable people are with having their feet washed. People get kind of uncomfortable with having their feet washed on Maundy Thursday. Like there's a whole lot of emptiness up front when we do that because people don't want to have their feet touched because ick. Well, this miracle story reminded me of that, because the first thing Jesus does is he walks up and he sticks his fingers in the guy's ears. Can you imagine someone walking up and doing that to you? It's like, ooh. And then he spits and then touches the guy's tongue. I mean, nasty. You know, if someone did that to me, I would be like, get out of here with that mess. Get that away from me. Just do, don't touch me. Why is Jesus doing this? Well, again, you know what? I think he's trying to teach us. And what he's teaching us this morning is that sometimes the healing that we need is messy. Sometimes the healing that we need is a little messy. It is not always comfortable. It doesn't always happen in a wonderful absence of ickiness, just light and glory. But sometimes healing gets messy and maybe a little repugnant. Maybe brings forth to us stuff that we would rather not deal with. Sometimes healing can be a little messy. A little messy for Jesus. It's a little messy for us. You know what? He does it anyway. He does it anyway, and we're healed anyway. And as always with a miracle story, I can't tell you why there are miracles of healing sometimes, but not always. I can't tell you why every prayer for healing is not answered in the way that I long for it to be answered. But I do know from these stories that God goes way out of God's way to get to the need of people who don't belong. God goes way out of God's way to do healing. And we, as we are called to follow Jesus and he sets an example for us, we need to remember that that's what we're called to. Out of our comfort zones. Maybe to a way, to a people whose ways are not our ways and who don't even speak the same language. But we are called way out of our comfort zones and way out of our way to manifest the good news. And sometimes the healing that we seek and the healing that we offer gets a little messy, gets a little icky, gets a little, ugh, I'm not sure about that. But there's power in that touch. There's power in that closeness and in that intimacy and in that whispered prayer, sighed up to heaven. Jesus teaches us about discipleship, but we always have to remember that at the same time he is teaching us, he is also healing us. And so these stories not only call us to follow Jesus in ways that can be challenging, they not only call us to follow Jesus in ways that we may not always understand or that may sometimes feel risky, but they also teach us the things we need to remember. God will go out of God's way for you, and God will bring healing to you, but it may not be the way you expected. It may not be easy. It may feel icky sometimes, but the healing and the power is still there for us. It is always there for us, and there are no human barriers that can prevent that. And so as we receive that gift and we're called to go out, it is a reminder to us of how far God will go. And how far we can go. Thanks be to God.